Welcome to Hope Talks, where we share inspiring stories of hope in Jesus Christ. Hope Talks is hosted by Pastor Margaret Michael and Grayson Willis. Join us for uplifting stories of triumph, faith, and the enduring power of Christ's love. Also, if you're in the listening area, tune in to 1470 AM or 102.1 FM WBTX to listen to Hope Talks every Sunday at noon.
Welcome to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. I'm Grayson Willis.
I'm Pastor Margaret Michael.
And happy Father's Day if you're a father and you're listening. Or if you're a man, happy Men's Day. Like we said on Mother's Day, we said happy Women's Day. So today, Pastor Margaret and I have the joy and the privilege to be joined by Brian Charette. Brian, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Good to be with you again, Grayson.
It is so good to have you here. I wonder, does this feel a little bit like BC in the morning?
Well, since no one on earth remembers what that means, Margaret's referring to the fact that many years ago, before both of you were born, I was on the radio.
I was born.
Everybody knows. You don't have to explain.
I was on the radio in Harrisonburg, where we're sitting now.
You got me to work.
So I used to do a morning show, and it was BC in the morning. And guess how much I loved talking about it?
Zero.
You can tell by his joking, but actually, even though we're recording this in the morning, it'll be playing in the afternoon. So it's BC in the afternoon.
Yeah. And whatever. Go.
It's
you
a new
won.
Day.
And
yes.
And I mean, you also helped get WLTK on the air.
I
so that's a connection with this station.
Right.
Great.
I was part of, with Brad Huddleston and Dave Eshelman, I was part of the group that put the new Christian radio station on the air in the mid 90s. That was fun. I never had a regular air shift, but we got it on the air, Lord being gracious to us, and it was wonderful. Great experience.
Do you know when I came to Christ? That was so important to me. I listened to it all the time. Yeah.
I believe in the power. My early career was in radio. I believe in the power of broadcast about messages like what we're doing today. I think it's worthwhile. I think if it impacts, I always thought they taught you when I was learning radio, they always said, never say, how you doing out there, everyone? Because what they taught me was talk as if you're talking to one person.
Right.
So I never forgot that. And then when I started doing Christian radio, which was really important, what if that one person, what if that you could change one life? What if you could turn one soul's destiny or help water seeds that are turning one? What if you could just turn one soul's destiny around because of what you were saying or playing on the radio? To me, that was very powerful. So
here I sit today.
Yeah.
It was a tremendous encouragement and support. I just remember like getting in the car and getting the radio. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm one of those.
So
well,
I think,
thank you.
I mean, whenever you allow me on Hope Talks, which is not that much because I always overstep my bounds, but, I always think about one. I always try to think about one person listening to the, because everyone listening is important. And so I think about you. And when I say you, I mean you, whoever you are listening, probably by yourself. I'm thinking about what the Lord wants to do. You made a conscious decision to turn on this program. And I don't think that's an accident.
Right.
And so I think the three of us are thinking,
right.
Okay, Father, how can we be obedient to you so that we can impact for you that one person?
Yeah.
So I think about that.
And that echoes what I learned in college and really what helped me, because I wasn't comfortable knowing all these people are listening, but it helped me to know if I just think of it one person across the table or two people at a table talking to each other. So, yeah, we mentioned that today's Father's Day. Happy Father's
Day
to my dad. And
Kerry Willis.
And happy Father's Day to you, Brian.
Thank you.
Happy Father's Day to my dad in heaven.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah. So, Brian, we'll just start out. Give us a little background. We mentioned that you're a father, and obviously we all have fathers, but just share a little bit about where you're from and any background you want to give us.
All right. Well, first of all, I'm going to give you both an assignment to be thinking about while I'm talking.
Okay.
And that is, and because many people know Grayson's father, Kerry Willis, was a well-known pastor and is his return to our church. And you, of course, have mentioned your godly father. So what I'd like you to think of while I'm talking is, If you could, based on the way your dad loved you and cared for you, what do you think his three rules for fatherhood were? So that's your assignment.
Okay.
What do you think your dad's, your father, Kerry, your dad's name is Amos? Mm-hmm. What do you think their three rules of fatherhood were based on the way they cared for you? Okay. And it's interesting because I can't answer that question because while I had a father, I was never fathered. Like many listening, I was not raised in a Christian home. And in fact, I was raised in a very dysfunctional home. My father was an alcoholic. He wasn't an abusive alcoholic. He didn't get drunk and beat us, but he was totally distant. I tell people I had never in my life, because he died fairly young. He had a very sad story. I've already outlived him many, many years. So I never had an adult conversation with my father, ever. He was, like I said, he was an alcoholic, and it got really, really bad as I got older. My mother had a drug problem. So I didn't know the Lord growing up. I didn't have any context for knowing the Lord. It was the idea of having a relationship with Jesus was not only foreign to me, it seemed silly to me. When I was 19, because of the circumstances the Lord arranged, I did make a commitment to Jesus, and that's obviously made every difference in my world. I'm the kind of person where I'm not so sure without the Lord I'd be around today. It was that kind of direction. So I can't answer that question that the two of you are going to answer later in the program. But what's fascinating to me is what the Lord did to make up for that. I had no idea what fathering was. Like I said, I had a father, but I was never fathered. So I had no idea what that was. And so I've always gravitated towards Psalm 68. I'm going to share a little bit with you. Psalm 68. So I'll read this to you because there's an aspect of the Lord that I think is just remarkable. So Psalm 68, starting in verse 1, says, "May God arise. May his enemies be scattered. May his foes flee before him. May you blow them away like smoke as wax melts before the fire. May the wicked perish before God, but may the righteous be glad and rejoice before God. May they be happy and joyful." So we have this warrior, this great warrior language. Verse 4, "Sing to God, sing in praise of his name, extol him who rides on the clouds," this more really majestic, "rejoice before him. His name is the Lord." So between verses 1 and 4, we have this huge, big, majestic, grandiose language as God is kind of a warrior. And then in verse 5, the language gets really small and intimate. Verse 5 says, in describing God, "A father to the fatherless." Did you hear that? Mm-hmm. "A father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy dwelling. God sets the lonely in families. He leads out the prisoners with singing. The rebellious live in a sun-scorched land." I always thought it was fascinating how David downshifts in verse 5 and has this big, big, powerful language about God as a warrior. But then he says, he describes him as a father to the fatherless. And we picture in our mind an orphan and a dad. And I wasn't an orphan technically, but in the spirit, I was an orphan. And I've always seen that as, boy, that's a change in tone. But it isn't. Here's my point. The greatest, most majestic, most powerful, most in the clouds work the Lord ever did to me was father me in the absence of a real father. So even though it sounds like David is downshifting and going from big, mighty, powerful to orphan, father, and companion to the widows, that's a reflection of his great power. It's not a downshift. It's just in keeping with who he was. So the Lord did, and you guys are still thinking, the Lord did two things in my life to sort of restore. And many of you listening, know exactly what I'm talking about. Some of you had wonderful, godly fathers, and praise the Lord for them. I hope you are grateful, whether they're still with you or not. And I hope you take the time to say, Dad, I love you, and I'm grateful for who you are as a man and as a father. I hope you will do that. But then there are some like me who don't have that opportunity. We can't. So the Lord did two things for me. One is a little bit odd, and the other is, I think people will expect, when I got saved, the first thing I did the morning after I got saved was I enlisted in the United States Marine Corps. I had not given any plans to do that. I got saved. I committed my life to the Lord. I didn't have any idea what I was doing. I just knew that my life was a mess. I was 19 years old. And so I said, okay, Lord, I knew some people who had been witnessing to me. And I said, I don't know if you're real or not, but all I know is this is a mess and I need you to fix it. If you can, fix it. So I prayed. So the next morning, I had this strong sense that I was supposed to go in the Marine Corps. Now, I had gone to Virginia Tech for a year, so I'd started college, but that was an aimless pursuit. And so so I enlisted in the Marine Corps, and a couple months later, I was standing on the footprints of Parris Island, South Carolina. Here's why I'm telling the story. Because every commanding officer I had, I was only in the Marine Corps for 3 years. I had had a short enlistment, and I did serve sea duty, and I won't get into the details, but every commanding officer I had from the time I got in the Marine Corps to the time I got out was a godly man. And those of you who are in the military, and especially if you're in the Marine Corps, you know that that's just not, that doesn't happen. But every commanding officer I had was a man of God. And the Lord used, there were four primarily, because I had four essential duty stations. But they were all Bible-believing men who loved Jesus. And so the Lord began to rebuild in me this idea of what fathers did and what they were. And that was when I first got an idea of this sense of father to the fatherless. And then I got out of the Marine Corps, and I just got surrounded by a group of godly men who, whether they knew it or not, I was like in the summer school of fatherhood. I was making up for lost time, and they taught me what it was like to be a father. And I'll tell one story, and then it's your turn. Early on, I had two little girls. We have two grown, wonderful, beautiful daughters, my wife Pam and I. And early on, when they were both really young, probably 4 and 2 or 5 and 3, something like that, I just got overwhelmed one day by the sense of responsibility, because my dad had blown it. He didn't know any better. I'm not being bitter about my dad. He did the best he could. His world was as lost as could be, and his father was an alcoholic. So don't hear me blasting him. Right. But I knew my dad had blown it. And so I was gripped with this paralyzing fear that I was going to do that too, that those two little girls were not going to be able to depend on me. And it really impacted me. I'm talking about panic attacks and anxiety. And I remember one afternoon sitting around a picnic table with a bunch of guys who were become close friends of mine. And I started sharing this concern, because most of them, if I remember who was around the table, most of them were dads. And I said, there's just no way I'm not going to mess this up. I'm going to blow this. And they're going to be in the same situation I was. And I'll never forget, obviously I'll never forget because I'm talking about it now. One of the gentlemen who was a pastor said, well, you're thinking about ownership wrong. Those two girls are not yours. They never were yours, and they never will be yours. Those two girls belong to the Lord, and he's given you an assignment to help him care for those, but they're his girls, and he's going to guard and protect them, and he's going to give you what you need to be a godly father for them. So when you think it's all on you, not only is that selfish and unwise, but it neglects the fact that these are gifts to you on loan. They're not yours. They're his. And they were his first. They were his at the beginning of time. And that really helped me. I remember, I've thought of that many, many times as I've thought about decisions to make with the girls. I've said, okay, Lord, they're yours. And I give them to them all the time. So that's my story. you can ask me questions about my story, but let's go back to the opening assignment. I've been a college faculty member for some time, so I'm used to giving people assignments.
Yes, Dr. Brian.
So, so I asked you at the beginning, you can ask me questions if you want, and I'll be happy to answer them. But you both enjoyed godly fathers. So I'm curious, thinking about how they behaved, what would you say your dad's three rules for good fathering is? Grayson, you want to start since you're the host of the show?
Well, the first thing that I came up with, I didn't even have to think about the first thing.
Okay.
Please love Jesus passionately.
Amen.
And a lot of all the others flow out of that.
Good point.
I thought of something my grandfather actually told Dad when Dad got his license, and he was asking his dad about the rules, and he said, no rules, just don't break our heart.
I love that.
And so I'm going to kind of say that for part two. But, I mean, he would want me to respect my mother and love my sister and get along with her. And so those were some others. But
excellent.
Yeah, that's what came to my mind.
So love Jesus.
Yeah.
Don't break our hearts, which I've always loved it.
Yeah.
And you know what's interesting is your granddad was such a man that I'm guessing his boys didn't want to break
right,
his
that's
heart.
What
you know
Dad
what I
said.
You know what I mean? So be a father in such a way that your children are afraid of disappointing you, breaking your heart. And then the three for you was love your mom, love your children. Good rules. Good Father's Day rules. Margaret, can you follow that?
It'll be a tough one. So, yeah, our growing up, my dad taught me how to go to church. That wouldn't be my first thing to say about him. But just thinking about, we didn't talk about faith in our home.
Mm.
You know, that was, we went to church and we heard the preacher preach. We heard, that was the only person we ever heard pray. There were no audible prayers in our home unless the bishop was at our house for a meal and then he would pray audibly.
Interesting.
But it was always a silent prayer. But the main thing that I think, when I think back to being a child and my dad, when he came in from a long day on the farm and he sat down in that rocking chair, you better believe I was going to be in his lap because I was his girl.
Wow.
And it was a safe place. I think I sat in his lap till I was like 13. You know, it was like, okay, Margaret, that's time. You know, but I loved my dad because like he and I were together a lot. I was outdoors. I loved to be outside. Dad taught me hard work.
Mm.
Like he taught me how to do everything. And at one point I was 14 and helping him run a farm.
Wow.
So we did hard work together and not everything always went right, but we were a really good team. But he instilled in my heart that ethic, work ethic.
Mm.
And then I left home. I was a rebel. I will never forget running away from my dad because he couldn't catch me. It's a hard memory to think about. And literally just walking out of their lives. And, you know, he loved me. And mom did too. Like they both, she had more to say to me. But dad was always a constant. And I remember when I came back to start helping care for mom, she was 91. And dad walked up to me and he said, I like you being here and it better not change. He made me feel loved and seen
Amen.
And welcomed. And God allowed me to be with him to the end of his life. And we sang hymns around his bed as he went to heaven with my family. And he taught me presence. He taught me that the importance of showing up and being there for someone. He always did that for me.
Yeah. I always think about what it'd be like to have I have no idea where my dad is. I hope he's in heaven. I hope toward the end. He knew who Jesus was. He knew that I had faith when he died. And I've always wondered what it'd be like to have a debrief meeting with him. In other words, I told you that I never had an adult conversation with my dad, never. But it would be so cool to, at the end of, you know, if I meet him in heaven, to sort of talk back about what. The reason I say that, Margaret, did you ever have, you said you were a rebel. Did you ever have a conversation with your dad where you and he talked together about that period of your life and sort of made amends? And what was that like?
So I was standing at his kitchen sink one night and I decided tonight's the night.
Mm.
I realized that I had never really had that conversation with him. And as I apologized to him for that and how I treated him, he goes, "It's not your fault." And I'm like, "Yeah, it is." And, you know, I said, "Nobody made me do what I did. That was me." But what I found out when I did that, and I'm telling this today only for God's glory and for anyone that needs to say something to their parent.
Yep.
He was so adamant that it wasn't my fault. And what I found out, 2 weeks later, he went to someone and asked for forgiveness because he had been holding bitterness in his heart for an incident that happened when I was 16 that he believed is what took me off of my path. And my asking him gave him a freedom and reminded him that he needed to do that.
Yeah.
And then within a few weeks, I shared my testimony with him, shared the parable of the sower. And that day, I helped him come to peace with Jesus. And I told him, I said, "Dad," I gave him an olive wood cross. And I said, "Cling to the cross and trust Jesus. It's all you have to do. It's going to be okay."
Amen.
Because he has you. And that was on Tuesday. And my dad had a major stroke on Sunday, another one on Monday, and passed Monday night as our family gathered around and sang hymns.
Powerful. Wow.
Unbelievable. But standing at that kitchen sink that night, I think about what if I wouldn't have had the what it took to say, "Dad, I'm sorry for what I did to you," because it changed the end of his life and it gave him peace. He stuck that cross in his pocket. And after his stroke, he kept trying to get something out of his pocket. And I realized somebody washed his shirt and not put the cross back in. And I put that cross back in. It meant something.
Amen.
So, yeah, thanks for asking that question. Because while you were talking, this was all going through my mind. And I'm like, this is about Brian. It's not about me. I'm not sharing.
Are we surprised?
Look at that. I just handed him the reins.
No, thanks. Maybe that's the singular purpose of this program today is for you who are listening. Maybe the Lord is urging you to have a conversation. Even if your dad was godly and even if you didn't stray.
Right.
Or even if it was like me and you didn't have a godly dad, maybe the reason you turn this program on today is because the Lord is nudging you to have a conversation. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's the only reason we're here in this program today.
And you gave Pastor Margaret and I the assignment, but each and every person that's listening should be thinking about these things.
Yes.
Well, and I would just say, if there is something you've already thought about it, it's already come to your mind, the thing that you need to have the conversation about. If it hasn't come to your mind, I would say stay open if it does, to realize that it may seem like the hardest thing in the world, but there is something about being vulnerable and real with those that we love that will make the bond deeper.
Yep.
And it will make you freer in Christ.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's true.
Well, Brian, you shared something that somebody shared with you early on when your daughters were really small that really helped you, saying that those are his girls. He's just entrusted you, or you're the steward, basically, of them. So along the way, if there's anything you want to share that he helped you, since you mentioned you didn't have a godly example as a father, so Father God had to be your example and help you. So anything?
Well, a few things that I did that I think were godly and right. Well, obviously, you cannot father unless you are connected to the Father. So I just don't believe you can. And so for me, one of the things that has continually driven me to the Lord and driven me to pursue Him was my responsibility as a father. I knew that I couldn't be a father apart from being connected to the vine, apart from being the source of fatherhood. Another thing I did was, as a dad, I tried never to make a big deal about mistakes. I was determined early on before I said to myself, when those girls spill their glass at the dinner table, they are never going to hear a raised voice from their father. They're going to see their father get up and get paper towels, and they are never going to feel like they have to walk on eggshells or every mistake is going to be scrutinized. So that's one thing I did as a dad. I hope my girls would say that I had high expectations for them, and I hope they'd say I disciplined them in love. But I also hope they would say that I was a man of grace, that they didn't have to worry about making mistakes because they knew I was never going to jump down their throat. I was never going to lose my temper. because I saw how destructive that was for me. So I tried to be a great source of grace for them. And if I had to err, I would err on the side of grace. And sometimes I know as a dad, you need to be tough and sort of lay down the law and enforce the law and enforce discipline. And if you say, if you do that again, you're going to your room, you have to send them to. I knew all that stuff, but I also wanted them to know that they were never going to have to worry about whether I accepted them or loved them, no matter who they were or what they did. So that was one. And the other thing I think I tried to do was put them in situations to succeed. I was always wary of my daughters being in situations where they were at risk or could fail. Because I think one of the things we dads have and do is we have a font of wisdom. Moms have it too, but I think it's more core to the purpose of a dad that a 12-year-old girl doesn't have, a 14-year-old boy doesn't have, a 16-year-old girl doesn't have. And so I think one of our roles is to, what's wisdom say in this decision? Yeah. Doesn't mean I always told them what to do, but I was always sort of thinking about the decisions they were making and who they were with and who their friends were. And I would always try to be the voice of wisdom in a situation. So I'd say those three things. One is, if you're a dad, you got to stick close to your dad. Two is, don't be afraid to be gracious, to be forgiving, merciful, even when you think you should be in some way tough. And then the third is, your children don't have the wisdom that you have because they're children. So what's wisdom saying in their various decisions that they make about school and friends and boyfriends and girlfriends and things like that? Those would be my three.
That is great. We call this Hope Talk. So yeah. Is there something that's in these days that's giving you hope?
It's interesting you say that because of this. Well, first of all, Jesus is giving me hope. Look at my story. There is no earthly reason I should be sitting here talking to you. So one, I don't care what your situation is. In the Lord, there is hope in the darkest circumstance, no matter what your situation is. So one, that's one. And then I was looking through some statistics. I won't share them with you, but I knew we were going to talk about fatherhood. And so I was curious. I think that fatherhood is on the rebound in our culture. I won't share the statistics with you, but the statistics showing more men spending more time at home, more men spending more time with their children, more women affirming that their husbands are good fathers. It's almost like, and I don't know why, other than there might be a little mini fatherhood revival. It's almost like we reached a nadir early in this century. And if you look at the stats, Pew Research has a bunch I looked at last night. It appears that fatherhood is coming back. People are getting married later. That's a true demographic trend. And maybe that feeds it. But I think, you know, there was a sense, I think, maybe 80s and 90s, where I think fathers drifted. They self-medicated. They saw raising kids as the mother's work. But I think you can say that fatherhood is on the rebound. I hope it is in the kingdom of God, but I think it even is people who don't know the Lord. So that gives me hope because I think fatherhood, and this is at no expense to motherhood, fatherhood is the critical. Jesus could have chosen to teach his disciples to refer to God as any term. And he said, when they asked him to pray, he said, when you pray, pray this. And the first two words out of his mouth were, "Our Father." That's right. That can't be a mistake. So I think fatherhood is a powerful spiritual force. And I hope that those of us who are men who love Jesus, I hope we will see our roles as also father to the fatherless. I hope we won't just father our own children. I hope we will look to the children of single moms. I hope we will keep our eyes open in Walmart when a single mom needs help. I hope we will be little mini fathers to the fatherless because we believe that there's great power in that whole notion of fatherhood as it comes from God the Father.
Amen. That's beautiful.
Beautiful. Thank you for sharing, Brian. Been a pleasure to have you.
Did you see how much I talked?
You did great. Thank you for joining us for today's broadcast of Hope Talks. We pray that as Pastor Margaret and I have talked with Brian today about fatherhood and a father who is a father to the fatherless, that it truly has been a half hour of hope for your life.
Amen.
May God bless.
Hope Talks is sponsored by Church of the Nazarene in Harrisonburg in partnership with Sunshine Ministries. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure to subscribe, rate, and leave a review on Spotify or Apple Podcast. Your feedback helps us spread hope to even more listeners. Stay tuned for more uplifting stories in the next episode. Until then, keep the faith, share the love, and find joy in the hope that Jesus Christ brings.